Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi. Before we get started, I want to ask those who have been listening for a while, if this podcast has been a help to you, would you consider giving up just $5 a month to help keep it going? This podcast is listener supported as an extension of GPS Hope, which is a charitable ministry. In other words, Dave and I are able to do what we do through donations, and we want to be able to keep this podcast going. For just $5 a month, not only will you be supporting this podcast and keeping it going, you will also get exclusive content of me sharing things here and there by video, so you actually get to see me instead of just listening to me. And I'll tell you, most of these videos are in the morning. I don't have makeup on. My hair isn't done. You get to see the raw and real me, not the made up me. I just turn on my camera and share what's on my heart. This is all done through Patreon. To join us over in the Patreon community, just go to Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/GPS Hope. Now, there's also a $10 level where you can get reflection questions from each episode, and a $20 level where we also add to the quiet moment videos and the reflection questions a monthly Zoom call with me. We just had one last night and it was really good. We go deeper into some of the podcast topics and you get to ask me questions about specific struggles you're having, and we all talk about it together. The Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast has several thousand weekly listeners, and your $5, it may not seem like much, but when it's combined with other listeners' $5, it will make a huge difference for Dave and I and what we do through GPS Hope. So if this is something you would like to do, supporting this podcast by just $5 a month, go ahead and pause this right now. Go to patreon.com/GPS Hope, or there's a link in the show notes. You can just click on that. It will take you right there and then come right back. I am very excited to have my friend Angela Alexander back on the podcast. And if you've read my book, The Bible's Grieving Parents, I talk about Angela in the chapter about Adam and Eve. We'll talk about that in our conversation. As always, let me introduce her before we play our conversation for you. A sister, an Air Force Reserve retiree, a wife, a mother, an inspirational speaker, and now an author and executive producer of her own documentary film. She is the narrator of her autobiography, Miracles in Action, Turning Pain into Power and Grief into Peace. Rather than succumbing to darkness and despair after facing continuous hardship and loss, she chose to find strength and inspire others facing similar challenges, guided by God Himself. Angela has been actively speaking at ceremonies in churches, retreats, and conferences to inspire and encourage people to stay hopeful and never give up. So, if you are a bereaver who is fresh in your grief, there may be some things that Angela and I talk about that are shared that you just can't relate to right now because it's just too early in your journey. And if that's the case, I encourage you to keep listening, because I'm pretty sure there will still be things in here that will be helpful for you. So with that, here is my talk with Angela Alexander. Well, hi, Angela. It's so good to reconnect with you. Thank you for coming back on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It has.
So I think we're just going to dig right into things because I think there's so much we could talk about. Now, you have had multiple serious tragedies in your life, and the most recent was actually the loss of your mom after being her caregiver for several years, correct?
Yes, yes. Just last November, November 2024, she passed away. She had came down with pneumonia early that year, and she stopped eating. And once that started happening, your body just slowly shuts
Yeah.
down. And
Yeah.
it was mixed blessings because, when your body no longer serves you, I always say, Lord, death is not the worst thing that can happen to you. And I say that because I watched my sister-in-law. She had her foot cut off. Then she had above the knee cut off. Then she had a pinky cut off, often diabetes. And slowly they were cutting her body parts away. And she was a go-getter. She was all over the place all the time. And just to watch her deteriorate like that and just become miserable and her body no longer served her, I just say, you know what? When she finally took her last breath. And a lot of people were like, Angela, how can you say that? But I was like, hallelujah. First of all, she loved Jesus. Okay, so I knew where it was going. And she was ready to go. And so I was like, thank you, God, for just embracing her in your arms. Yes, and I felt the same way for my mom too, because her body no longer served her as well. And she was like 90s, like 98 pounds when she passed.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
So
yeah.
it was time. It was
Yeah.
time.
So in those instances, death was a blessing. To get the new
Yes.
body and yes, and to be with the Lord. Yeah.
And be free.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, one of your life events that we're going to back way up, we're not going to go into a lot of detail this time. We did, I think, last time we talked a little bit more, but shortly after you were married, your husband had a brain aneurysm and he had to learn how to do everything again. I mean, like we're talking walking, eating, I'm talking everything, right?
Yes. He had to learn who I was.
Oh my. Wow.
We were stationed in Germany. He was in the army and he woke up one morning, 24 years old,
Wow.
and couldn't talk. We had been married 1 year and a blood vessel had erupted in his brain and he had a brain aneurysm. And they evacuated us from Germany, took us to Walter Reed Hospital where he had an 18-hour brain surgery. Couldn't
Wow.
read, couldn't write, couldn't talk, none of that. And he was in the hospital for 8 months, the second year
Wow.
of our marriage. So he had
Wow.
to all that all over again. So praise God, he's still
Wow.
here with us.
Now, how long have you been married?
Now, 41 years.
Wow. Awesome. All right. So I want to hear a little bit about David and Alice now. Now, everybody, you probably already know because I wouldn't have Angela on here. She is a Pereaver. She's one of us, but she has had so many other things even leading up to that. So I just wanted her, because she's just got so much joy and so much peace from everything God's brought her through. I want you to hear just so much, pieces of her story of some of the devastating things that she's been through. And so I want to talk just a little bit about David and Alice. What happened with your brother and your sister, Angela?
That's, this is the hardest part of my story to talk about. And my brother was diagnosed with schizophrenia at the age of 12.
Wow.
And so he had a mental disorder practically his whole life. And he was in and out of jail. And in 1996, he was let out of jail without his schizophrenia medication. And so really, that was a setup for failure. He started hearing voices. He began using street drugs and alcohol, marijuana to calm the voices. And at that time, he wanted to stay with my mother, but my mother lived in an elderly apartment. And if you weren't 55, you couldn't
Right,
stay there.
right.
And so my sister was said, you can come and stay with me. However, when I get my children over on the weekends, you can go to a local shelter. And you can come back Sunday because I just want to have that quality time with my children. And so that worked out fine for a couple of weeks, maybe like a week and a half. And then she started feeling his hesitation, like, why do I have to leave? I'll be okay, And she said, no, I need you to go, but not, you can come right back. And during one of those conversations, he just could not understand why he had to leave. And I guess they had an argument. I wasn't there. I guess they had an argument, and she just did not make it out alive. And it broke my heart. I'm telling you, Lord, this is, as I say, the first time I felt my heart is when it broke into a million little pieces. And I'm telling you, what I learned from her passing was that God is in control. Even on our darkest day, even how dreadful that was, God was there with her. And I show that because a week before she passed away, she wrote this letter to Dear God. The first sentence was, "Hello, God, it's me, Alice. I need you. I cannot handle my affairs without you." And for a whole year, I didn't get that letter because it was in, you know how you might take like your last $5 bill, $20 bill, and fold it up and put it in your wallet, different
Oh,
layers down.
okay, right.
But she hid this letter way down in her wallet, and I didn't get it until after the trial, a year later.
Wow.
And I had been grieving, grieving, grieving. I mean, the grief was so heavy. And after her trial, they released her evidence to me, and I was going through her wallet being nosy. And deep down, I found this letter and I opened it up. And when I read that first sentence, I was like, wow, this was a conversation between my sister and God. It wasn't about me, it wasn't about her children, and therefore, it was not about our brother David. And this was the conversation they had. And then the next week, she was gone. I mean, come on. So that gave me, when I read that first sentence, the grief just lifted off of me. And I felt so good that she was in communication with God. And this is how they decided to handle it. And now again, she's at peace. And because she was going through a whole lot of stuff. Despite what was going on with my brother and her, her whole life was just in shambles. So I was extremely happy for her. But yes, that was my first heartbreak when it came to grief. But I truly believe that was the foundation for my ministry, because her letter, and as we'll share later, was one of the reasons why my ministry began.
Okay. And you and your sister were very close. You had a business together and you were very, very close, best friends. You
Yes,
did everything together
we
from what I
did.
remember. Now, forgiveness has been a huge issue for with your family from this. And I know, like me, it's something that you feel is foundational to help get out of the suffocating of darkness of grief, isn't it?
Oh, forgiveness. I mean, it was mandatory for my sanity. I mean, I went through all the stages of grief. I'm and unforgiveness. I mean, I wanted to melt. I used to wake up with nightmares and cold sweats with me and my sister fighting my brother together. And just going through all that, because it's one thing dealing with somebody passing away. Then we have a brother, somebody who loved her, but he was not in his right mind. I know he loved her. He just wasn't in his right mind. When you put drugs and alcohol on top of schizophrenia, a mental disorder, it's just not a good combination. So forgiveness was mandatory. And it took a minute, trust me. It was not overnight, but I was blocking my own blessings, holding on. And he asked for forgiveness.
Now, it
Because
took a while
if
for your dad, though, didn't it?
Oh, yes, because immediately right after that, they had to put him on suicide watch once they found out, once he realized what he did. And my father, it took him like over 5 years, and at that time, you could not even say my brother's name in his presence. That's how thick the hatred was. But at the same time, he was having ulcers, headaches, backaches. It was literally slowly killing him, that hatred. And then finally, I remember at that time my brother was sentenced. It took 5 hours to go to the prison to see him. And finally, years after year after years, my father finally went with us to go see him. And the first visit, he didn't say anything to my brother, and my brother didn't say anything to him. But his presence spoke volumes. It was the
Yeah, and
beginning.
that to me that shows that forgiveness isn't just a one and done thing.
Oh
It's
no,
a process.
it's definitely a process. It's definitely a process. And I remember, like, some of my siblings, he would write them a letter, and they would send it back, return to sender. So each one of us went through different stages. I mean, and at the trial, some of us testified for the defense, some for the prosecution. So it was crazy. Yes.
All right. Well, let's get into the losses that connected us and connects you with the listeners specifically, which is child loss. Now, you didn't just lose one. but you lost two sons in a car accident. And this is while you were serving in the military overseas. So tell us what happened.
Yes. Well, after my sister passed, it just became like we had a balloon and flower business in Tacoma, Washington, and it just became too much, and I needed more sunshine in my life. So we actually moved from Seattle, Washington, or Tacoma, Washington, to California, Southern California. And we were so grateful that Surrey, my husband, not only survived that brain aneurysm, but his quality of life, that we wanted to give back and give back in a tangible way. I mean, we said, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus, all day long, but we wanted to do something physically. And so we decided to become a foster family. So at that time, we had two children. We had Angela and we had Maurice. And we moved here and we decided to become a foster family, and we received Angelina and Reggie. So we went from two children to four children within a couple of months once we became foster family. And while I was in Japan, and so I'm a reservist. I was a reservist in the Air Force. And so, and as a reservist, we work 1 week in a month and 2 weeks out of the year. And so while I was in Japan on military duty, I was working with a group of people, and Lieutenant Mavechi came up to me and says, "Alexander, I need to speak with you." Now I said, "What's up?" Because it was April Fool's weekend, so I just thought it was another joke. And so we start walking and talking about nothing, and we end up at the door of this small office, and inside was a man who was introduced as a priest and another lady from my unit. And the priest began physically shaking, holding this paperwork from the Red Cross, and he says, "Angela, your family has been in a car accident." And from the looks on their faces, I just knew this was no April Fool's joke. The day before, my husband and four children were driving down the highway in California, and a car cut them off. Our car hit the center divider, and upon impact, they were all knocked unconscious. Then our truck went backwards across that highway and fell 25 feet below and landed upside down on top of two other parked vehicles with people inside those cars. Praise God, our car fell on their engine and not the roof. So those people were extremely shaken up, but they were okay. And the police, firefighters, ambulance with their jaws of life all came to the site, and they saw a father and four children. They ran into my daughter, Angela, who was 11 years old at the time. She was in and out of consciousness. They said, "Where's your mother? Where's your mother?" Well, she looked at the officer all dazed and said, "My mama's in Japan." So the officer thought she hit her head, right? Way too hard. Delirious. Didn't believe a single word she said. So they retrieved my address from my husband's driver's license and came to my home. Now, most people think that me being on the other side of the world was the worst place possible. But Lord, you know what? I needed to be that far away in order to hear God's voice. Because if I was home, I would have run somewhere. But in Japan, I had no choice but to be still and know that God is still God. And whenever and wherever there's a crisis, Christ is.
Love that.
And the priest said, "Your husband, Suri, still shaking. Your husband, Suri, he's in the hospital, but he's okay. Your daughter, Angela, she's in the hospital, but she's okay. Your daughter, Angelina, she's in the hospital, but she's okay. But your 2 8-year-old sons, Maurice and Reggie, they didn't make it." And instantly, as if no one else was in that room but God and me, I recall a prayer my children said before going to bed. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And I don't know, maybe because I needed to hear from my son so badly, I felt right here in my heart as if I heard them say, "No, mommy, that priest is wrong. We prayed the Lord our soul to take. We did make it. We're here with Jesus." Telling you the feeling, you're talking about they say that peace that surpasses your understanding. I got that right there. Because if you had asked me the day before, "Girl, what would you do if something happened to your children?" I remember saying I would go crazy. And then when it happened, I kept, even on the plane ride home, I had to get myself a checkup from the neck up. I kept having to repeat the alphabet, my social security number, just my name, just to make sure I wasn't crazy, because it just felt like, no, this cannot be happening. This cannot be happening. This cannot be my life. This cannot be for real.
Oh, I can't imagine the flight
But it
home.
was.
Oh,
Yeah. It's like,
wow.
10-hour plus plane ride home. Just, but on that plane ride home, I almost sat straight up in my seat about an hour into that flight when I remembered this letter Maurice had written about a month before the car crash. Maurice was 8 years old in the third grade. He had a math test at school. He finished early and received his A. Now he had to be quiet while his classmates completed their test. And in that quiet time, he wrote this letter to me, my husband. Now, he had never written us a letter before, so this is not one of many or any. And he ran in the house from school that afternoon. He shouted, "Mommy, Mommy, Daddy, Daddy, I wrote your letter." I said, "What do you mean you wrote us a letter? Where are you going?" And he said, "Nowhere, Mommy. I just love you." And the three of us at the foot of our bed, we read his letter aloud. And I'm telling you, he wrote 3 pages not only expressing that he loved us, but explaining why he loved us. And the end of all the pages, he wrote the words, "Bye bye. BY dash BY, like we'll see each other again in passing." I mean, one of because after somebody passed, you wanted, did they love me? Was he happy? All those questions that you can't go back and ask. He did all of those questions. There was nothing left unsaid. I mean, he was 8 years old in third grade. And then when I and so I got home, I ran to what I ran his letter was actually on under my mirror on my dresser. I ran, I got it, I read it for everybody in the house. They couldn't believe how profound it was. And then I said, "Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Maurice's letter. It's truly the reason I can stand here right now. But I need to know that Reggie's at peace." And God placed one word on my heart. He told me to search. I said, "Search." Have you ever gave God the sign? I said, "Which is, search for what? What are you talking about?" And I didn't know, search for what? And then so I saw, it was so many people in my house. After somebody passed, I said, your home is filled with the five F's: friends, family, food, fellowship. Because the children, because the boys were so young, second and third grade, when their friends came to the house, they couldn't come by themselves. Their parents had to bring
Oh,
them, their
sure,
siblings came
yeah.
with them. So the house was just, and then our friends and family, the house was filled with so many people. So, and God told me to search. So I went upstairs to their bedrooms. I started going through the books on the shelves, the clothes in the closet. I emptied their backpacks in the middle of the floor. I searched my house over 3 hours. I didn't find anything that I prayed, trusted, and believed for. But that night, I shared that only God can create it, only God can orchestrate it. That night was open house in my children's elementary school. Now, my girls needed some normalcy in their life. Their friends on the block, they were going to open house. So I said, you know what? We'll go as well. And at this time, my husband is still in the hospital because when our car fell 25 feet off the highway, he hit his head. And all those years of speech therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy was gone.
Oh, wow.
He lost everything all over again. So he was still, so he
Wow.
was still in the hospital. And we went to my daughter's fifth grade class, Angela's fifth grade class, Angelina's fourth grade class. All their classmates wrote these hand condolences, love letters, and poems. I mean, it literally took me months just to read through the boxes of love. They were tear stained. It was so emotional. And then we finally made it to Maurice's third grade class. And when I walked in, this hush just came across the room because the parents did not know what to say to me. And frankly, I didn't know what to say to them. The children just circled around me because they wanted to tell me how much they loved and missed their friend Maurice. And it was just healing for all of us. And then I saw his sweater still hanging on the back of his chair. Oh my goodness. Oh my God, that was so hard. It was so hard. But his friends, anybody touch his belongings on his desk. Somehow, I don't know how, somehow we made it out of there. Went to Reggie's second grade classroom and I spoke with Mrs. Blassie for a little while. And I said, "What did my son do for open house?" Now, 2 weeks before the car crash, Mrs. Blassie had given all of her second graders all kind of arts and craft supplies and simply said, "Do something for open house. Your parents are coming," with no other instructions. Well, God created this opportunity for Reggie to leave his goodbye letter. So all their projects were stapled to the wall. I took it down. He cut out a shape of a house with closed doors. I opened it up. It says, "I have a big backyard and a big house." I said, "Wait a minute, stop right there, because we actually have the smallest backyard on the block." And then I realized when he wrote this, he was in transition mode. He's referring to his heavenly home, where he does have a big backyard and he does have a big house. And that remind me of John 14, 2 and 3, when Jesus said, "In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you," which he just said he would, "I'm gonna come back and keep you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also."
Yes.
Now, how awesome is it to know that our loved ones got Jesus escorted our loved ones to our Heavenly Father? That's the scripture that gives me great peace and great joy, just to know that. So, and then on the right-hand side of the Holy Scripture, he cut out a tombstone and wrote the words, "Dead men joy," and drew pictures of himself beneath those words. And on the opposite side of that home description, he cut out a second tombstone and wrote the words, "Dead men jams," and drew a picture of his brother Maurice. I
What
almost fell to my
eight-year-old
knees.
draws tombstones on their open house to do whatever you want?
Exactly. Exactly. That's how you know this was a miracle. This is how you know. I mean, both of them left these incredible goodbye letters and projects. And Maurice did not know about Reggie's letter. Reggie didn't know about Maurice's. They individually listened to the Holy Spirit and obeyed. And while I was writing the memorial program, that's when God said, "Angela, yes, the letters were written to soothe your soul, but more importantly, to share." And I'm telling you what, that's when the arguments began. I was like, no. That's what I'm not gonna do. I'm not gonna talk about this every time somebody asks me, because I'm telling you, at that time I could not even say their names without a lump in my throat. I couldn't see what God saw. So over 6 months, I walked in disobedience. But during that time, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't think straight. You know when you're walking in disobedience. And finally, when that pain became too much to bear, I woke up and said, "I surrender all. God, use me as you choose to." And at that time, I had 15 years in the Air Force. I said, "God, if you just give me the strength to put my uniform back on and stay in the military for another 5 years, I will retire and dedicate my life to you, dedicate my life to sharing this amazing testimony." And so during that time, during that 5 year time, that's when I wrote my autobiography, Miracles in Action. And a lot of people wanted to know, "Okay, Angela, what happened? Talk to us about the process of turning that grief into peace." You know, because the first week or the first couple of weeks, you're home is just, but then after that, your friends and family got a life. They are gone. So what happens after that? You know, so I wrote a workbook and it's talk about the process of turning that grief into peace. Just like we talked about, forgiveness is a process. Well, healing a broken heart is also a process. And then I was sharing my testimony at this conference, and there was a producer there. And he said, "Angela, your testimony is so amazing. I'd like to talk to you about turning your story, your book, into a documentary film." And so that's how the film became about.
Dave and I
Go
watched
ahead.
that. I can't remember if it was on Netflix or where it was, but we were able to watch that.
It used to be on Amazon Prime, but I,
Maybe that's what it
yeah, it
was.
used to be, but yeah.
Amazon Prime.
So that's the doc, and then this is a soundtrack to the documentary. And actually, the soundtrack, my brother David wrote the music for the soundtrack.
Seriously?
Seriously. My whole family was musicians and
Now,
singers,
can I ask, is he still in prison or is he out?
he got life in prison. He has life in prison. So he, yes.
And he's the one that
So
wrote the music.
he wrote the music, because I mean, all my brothers, they were all singers and play the piano and the guitar. And he would send us, back in the day when we had cassette tapes of him playing the guitar and singing music. There's a song called Alice, and Miracles in Action, and just a tremendous, gifted, so gifted. Just what a waste of prison. But hey, then
That's amazing.
I wrote this children's book that I wanted to show you. So what I love about this book is, in here, first of all, the illustrations are beautiful. And then I want to show you, this is actually Maurice's letter, where the children can take his letter out. This is his actual letter, and I just shrunk it down and they can read it. They can put it in their hands and read it. So that's Maurice's letter. And then this is Reggie's This is his
Oh,
like
okay. Yeah, yeah.
with the two tombstones right here.
Yeah.
So, because for children, you have to be extra. And a lot of times when children are grieving, they don't get the time and attention
Right.
that they deserve to go through, because they also have a process that they have to go through. And my girls, they were 10 and 11. My boys are
Wow.
8, but the girls were 10 and 11, and they were going through survivor's guilt, why did they survive? They were right there in the
Right.
truck with my
Yeah.
husband. Remember
Well,
him
the other thing
saying,
is with kids too, what I have found is that they put things together in a way that isn't true, isn't accurate. Whether it's blaming themselves or, whatever, they're picturing something and, to give them a chance to have some of
Yes,
those scrambled things unscrambled for them is huge.
it really is. It really is. So we have to give them extra time and attention so they can go through that whole grieving process as well as adults, because you don't want them to harbor it in, because it can come out with bad grades, outbursts in school, just being argumentative. So you want, just like adults, they
Right,
just
yeah, right. It's going to come out somewhere.
little people.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we want to have that healthy, yeah.
Yeah. I want to, you
So
talked about the peace part of it that you put together. Now, you have put together 7 steps from grief to peace. And now we know in grief, nothing is linear. Okay. It's not nice and neat by any means, but there are things we can do
No.
on our end, working with God in bringing a measure of healing in our lives, allowing us to function again at first. At first, we're just, it takes everything in us just to function. And then going from just functioning to actually having joy back in our lives again and living a life of meaning and purpose. And for you, it's very obvious that God has just really shown you how to do this in a way to help others. So, are you okay if we just kind of run through these 7 steps? I have them right in front of me. All right. So, step number one is seek God first.
Matthew 6:33, seek God first in
Yeah.
everything you do. Even the good, bad, ugly, or sad, if we go to him first. And I always like to use Paul and Silas, they praise God in the midst of their storm, while they were still prisoners, they praise God. And I believe it's truly like music to God's ears when you can just give him that, be thankful and grateful, and not just wait till comes to the end. Not wait till the
Well, not
light
wait
bill is
until you actually
paid. But what
feel
happens?
it.
Exactly. What happens when you're sitting in the dark? Are you still praising God? Or what happens when you pray, you fast, you trusted for your
Right.
loved one to survive, you
Yes.
pray for supernatural healing, and they pass?
Right.
Is God still good all the time?
Right. And
Like I said, God
it's
is good
because
all
we're
the time and
seeing.
all the
Yeah, and it's because we see things through our own perspective and not through the lens of eternity,
Right.
I feel like. And yeah, and I think even if we don't feel like we can praise God, just coming to him and just saying, I'm here. I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm confused. I don't
Right.
like you very much right now, God.
Yes.
But it's still seeking him first, even in the pain and the anger and
Yeah.
whatever you're feeling.
He's a big guy. He can handle
Yeah,
it.
definitely. Okay, the second one is to speak life over yourself and your situation.
Speak life over yourself. Words are very powerful. Words are
Yes.
very powerful. Don't let your own words be used as ammunition against yourself. Sometimes we talk about ourselves so bad sometimes. We wouldn't let
Yeah.
anybody talk about us like we talk about ourselves
Oh,
sometimes.
that's so
And that
true.
internal, I'm enough. I'm not this. I'm not.
It's funny you say that because something God's really been dealing with me in the last few months is I didn't even realize that I'd think, what's wrong with me? And just a simple
See,
thought like that.
what if somebody else came up and said, Laura, what's wrong
What's
with
wrong
you?
with you?
You'd be like, girl,
In the way
please.
I say it to myself. Yeah. In a very, yeah, exactly. The way we
And
self-talk.
that's ammunition. We call that the enemy within me.
Right,
And
yeah.
so, yeah, don't let that enemy within me, take over. So words are very powerful. So you have to speak life over yourself and your situation. And you have to speak it into existence. And that's just prayers.
Yeah, and God used his word to speak things that were not into existence. And because I think
Let there be
sometimes,
light.
yeah, and I think sometimes people struggle with, but it's not true. But even Jesus, when he was going to raise that girl from the dead, he said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. Well, in the natural, that sounded like a lie, but he was speaking truth into what he knew through the lens of eternity. And so
Exactly.
I think, there are a few examples like that where it's okay for us to speak into existence. So, and I'm not
Right.
talking about the, name it and claim it, blab it, grab it, that kind of a
Right,
thing,
right.
but for ourselves to speak
Right.
light into the darkness. Jesus, you have the seed of hope in me. I have, these things, you are in me. This did not blindside you. I have hope in me. I have light in me because you are in me. And just speaking those things over ourselves.
Right. Exactly.
The third one is search for your miracles and praise God in the midst of your storm. Searching for the miracles,
That's
that's
what we're talking
huge.
about. You can search for your miracles or you can search for your misery. The choice is yours. But whichever one you give voice to, the whenever you give your attention to and your time to, whatever you get, that's what gets you. So if you give all your time and attention and your voice to your searching for your misery, it's like a boomerang. It's gonna
Yes.
all that misery gonna come back to you. But if you search for your miracles, miracles are gonna come back to you.
Yeah, I have two
So
thoughts
again,
there.
that's a part of speaking
Yeah.
boundaries.
Yeah, I have two thoughts there. One of them is, some of the parents listening can easily be thinking, I was searching for my miracle and I didn't get it. And I think to me, one thing that God has shown me over the years is that I think sometimes we dismiss the fact that sometimes the greater miracle is what he does on the inside of us when something like this happens to bring us through these kinds of tragedies to on the other side with light and life and peace and joy and contentment and meaning and purpose again. That's a miracle. That's a huge miracle because we don't think we'll ever get there. We think that's impossible when our child first dies. We think it's impossible. And so for God to do a miracle, he did a miracle that our children are with him. I mean, that when you think of it, I mean that's an incredible thing to go from death to life, but it's not really death. It's just a transition. I mean, that's a miracle.
Because trust me, my sons do not want to come back here.
Oh my goodness.
They don't not want to. I mean, I said they are joyfully jamming. He wrote on one dead man joy on one tombstone and dead man jams on another tombstone. So I said they are joyfully jamming with Jesus and they don't want to come back here. And I don't even believe time is the same. It just seemed
Yes.
like forever. But I believe on their side, it's
Yes.
like, you'll be here for dinner, something like
Right,
that.
yes. Yeah.
So,
Yeah, eternity isn't bound by time the way we are. The other thing
no.
I was thinking of,
Yes,
you were talking about searching for the miracle or searching for the misery. I don't know how many people are familiar with it, but it's your RAS filter, it's reticular something something. I can't remember what it stands for, but it's you will see what you're looking for. If I like when we bought a Mini Cooper, I had hardly seen any Mini Coopers, but all of a sudden I just saw them all over the place. Well, they were always there, or a pregnant woman. It's like everybody's pregnant.
exactly.
It's just because
Once you get a
that's,
red car, all the cars are red. It's like, what?
yeah. And
It's
it's if
what
that's
you
where your
attract.
mindset is, then your subconscious is going to look for things to prove that or to bring it to you.
Exactly. That's why I say the choice is yours. You can search for your misery or you can search for your miracles. But
Yes.
wherever you put your voice, your time, and your attention gets you.
Yeah.
So be careful about where you focus on. Don't and I know this time is a doom and gloom. I know it feels so depressing and so lonely because I
Yes.
mean grief is no joke.
No. Yeah, I didn't
I
even know
mean
that kind of suffocating darkness existed until Becca
no,
died.
that's why I said, God, I can't talk about this every time somebody asks me, but he needs soldiers in his army to be able to, in the military we say reach one, reach back and teach one. So we're his soldiers, you too, and we're to help these grieving parents. just know that, it might not feel okay today, but it just put one step in front of the other. And
Yeah.
we're not, it's an easy road. Trust me,
Right,
I'm
right.
saying it's an easy road. It's not the yellow brick road, but if you believe, you trust and you believe and you put God first and believe that He will heal your broken heart,
Yeah.
get there.
Now,
You'll
Angela,
get
what year did this happen with Maurice and Reggie? How?
there. April Fool's Day 2000.
Wow.
So it'll be 26 years next month.
So they were 8, so they
Eight,
would be 30,
30, 30, 30,
34, four. I know I'm
34,
terrible at
something like,
math. 34.
I know, something
Wow.
like 34, 35. Yeah, about 34.
Wow.
And always, and see, that's another thing. I grieve. Not only do I grieve my sons, but I grieve my grandchildren I would have had with them.
Right.
I grieve my daughter-in-law that I would have. Those are the branches that will never come to fruition. So it's not only the death of your son or your child, it's that whole branch that they carry.
Right.
And the hardest thing for me to do was when I would watch his friends grow up on our block. When they graduated from high school, when they got a
Yeah.
girlfriend, when they graduated, they got their first job, when they started driving. And that's how I was able to, like, okay, Maurice and Reggie, they would be right there, right there. And then finally, their friends were taller than me. And I was like, sometimes it was really hard for me to speak to them because
Yeah.
the tears, just because, ooh.
Yeah,
But they
yeah.
represented what I did not have no, any longer.
Right. Well, number four after this conversation that we just had is give or receive forgiveness. Feels like it just flowed right into that. Yeah.
Forgiveness, that's a big one right there.
It's
Forgiveness is a big
huge.
one. And I had to forgive. Ooh, I had to
Did
forgive my
they
brother
ever
for killing my
catch the
sister.
person that ran them off the road? Did they ever?
No,
Wow.
that person, they were driving down the highway and they saw this sign and it says, it was a construction area. And
Okay.
it says fines double in this area. So this person jumped over in front of my husband and then he saw that sign is, it says, fines double in this area. And he slowed down. But I guess he didn't realize how close he got. And so my husband had to curve to avoid
Okay.
hitting him. And then that's when I caught him, the center divider, and went backwards.
Okay.
So
Wow.
I don't even really know if he
If he
knew.
even knew he caused the accident. Wow. I mean that's something right there it feels like would need some forgiveness.
Yes. And then, so when our car fell on the cars below, they wanted to sue that car, but nobody knew who he was. So then they sued us.
Oh, you've got to be kidding. Oh my word.
Yep. One, because it fell on, our car fell on two cars. This one lady and her companion, they settled for whatever our maximum was
Wow.
and our computers. But the other lady, she sued us for $1.7 million.
For something that wasn't even your fault? Oh my
She
goodness.
tried to sue us for $1.7 million, and so but then, so we had to get an attorney to defend ourselves because she
Oh
was
my
ready to take our home.
goodness.
She had condolences, but that's where it ended. She was ready
Wow.
to take out everything, and so, but once you have a lawsuit, then our attorneys was able to investigate her, and we
Okay.
found she had a history of slip and falls and bringing charges against people.
Oh, interesting.
Yes,
Okay.
so at that moment, she I think she was work. Our car fell in the Salvation Army's parking lot.
Oh my
Come on,
goodness.
Jesus. Yes,
Wow.
Salvation Army, and I think she had a grievance against them as a slip and fall
Oh,
at that
wow.
time. So we were able to. So she was saying that we did. I the car crash damaged her knee, but we was able to find out in her medical history that her knee was damaged. She had an X-ray in her medical. It that was dated March 27th of 2000, 3 days before the car crash.
Wow.
You know what? The car crash probably aggravated her knee, but it
Sure.
wasn't the cause
The
of the
cause of
knee.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I just, yeah,
Wow.
just, and so we went through years of litigation and
Oh my goodness.
depositions on top of everything else.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yes, but forgiveness.
Oh.
So I forgive her.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's amazing how many people, depending on the circumstances that we need to forgive, even ourselves, thinking we should have or could have done
Yes.
something, or
Oh my
God, forgiving
goodness.
God because he didn't stop it for whatever reason.
Right. After I prayed, trusted, and believed.
I'll tell you,
Yes.
I'll cry telling you this, but 3 nights ago now, we got a call from my son, and he was visibly shaken, and he said, "I just got a call from my daughter's phone, which would be our granddaughter, that and it was one of her friends saying she's been in a bad accident and the police are requesting her parents." And
Ooh.
yeah, we all flew to the hospital. And she was okay, very banged up and bruised, no broken bones, no internal injuries. So everything is, fine as far as what it could have been. She lost control. I guess she lost her brakes and went over kind of an embankment, and she bailed out of the truck and it went on down the hill and hit a tree. And, the next morning I was crying because it's like, how often? Because when my son posted that, and people's comments, and one of the comments was, "That's why we pray for our children, because the Lord answers our prayers for protection." And it's like, but you have no idea how many parents I know who prayed that prayer and didn't get it answered. And this was one of
Right.
the times our prayers were answered. And I'm so very
Yes,
thankful,
yes.
but it just breaks my heart for the parents who had did not get
Right.
that prayer answered. And the forgiveness that's
Right.
involved in that, whether it was caused by
Yes.
someone else
Definitely.
intentionally or unintentionally, whether it was self-inflicted by the child. I mean, forgiveness is huge. And like you said, it will eat us
Yes.
up, literally eat us up.
Yes. And forgiveness is something you give to yourself, not, and trust me, you can forgive from a distance. It doesn't mean you have to
Yes.
be out with the person. Sometimes it's absolutely necessary to forgive from a distance, depending
Yes.
on what the situation is. But
Yeah.
you but it's freeing you, and
Exactly.
it gives you the peace that you need to move forward, and it unblocks your blessings.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And even if you don't want blessings right now, it's like, I just want to go be with my child. I don't want to be here. I don't want blessings. Yes, you do. You don't want to be here without blessings.
Yes, you
If you have
do.
to be
Yes, you do.
here, you want God's blessings in your life. So, yeah.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the next one is listen to inspirational and/or praise and worship music. I know that was huge for me. I know some parents say they can't listen to music, and my heart just goes out to them because that's one of the biggest healing things in my life was because God created music to be a pathway to the soul.
Dance like David, right?
Yeah.
Man. And for me, and I put that in there because, sometimes those negative voices in your head, I used to have to go out to the car, Laura, and just blast praise and worship music. And just sometimes just to drown out my own self.
Yes.
And
Yes.
until I could just get past that hump and everything is all right again. But yeah,
Yeah.
that was my praise and worship. That was my that was my go-to. When my eyes were too just to read the Bible. This is before they had audio Bibles and all that kind of
Right,
stuff.
right, right.
When my eyes were too blurry and too red from crying to read the Bible, that's when I would just rely and saturate myself in
Yes.
praise and worship music.
Yeah. And to me, it reminds me, even though things feel out of control, he is still in control. Even though I don't
He
get
still
it, I
is.
don't understand it, it feels out of control. He is still God. He is still on the throne. He has the final word. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning
Right.
and the end, and he has the final word. This wasn't the final word. The death of our child was not the final
No,
word.
not the final word. It's not the end. And
No,
it's
no.
just the beginning. It's just the
Yes,
beginning.
yes.
Yes.
Number six is basically taking care of your health. Take a daily walk or exercise.
Yes, do something. Get up, go outside for a walk. I just remember after our son's passed, we used to go to the gym and just walk on the treadmill with tears flowing down our faces, listening to praise and worship music. But it's just getting that energy. Just to go out and get some vitamin D, the sun, the sun.
Right,
Just
some sort of
just because you
movement.
won't, some sort of get those juices flowing again.
Yeah, because I doing
Yes.
nothing, it enhances the depression. I mean, it just keeps it going. Whereas if you get up and
Right.
move, walk, do a little something, it breaks into that a little bit.
Yeah, and it helped, and you, because you don't want to become depressed where you can't sleep and you can't sleep at night, you're sleeping all day, or you can't eat, or you're eating too much, so you need to just go out and move and get that energy going. So it just helps the body, and sometimes you just help the body, and later on maybe the mind will follow, but
Yes. And then the last one you have here is attend grief coaching or individual or group sessions. Now, I know for a lot of bereavers, they will tell me they tried some sort of grief counseling or something and it didn't work. And what helps them the most is to connect with other bereavers, connect with other parents who've lost a child.
Yeah, that helps a lot because, it's nothing like somebody saying, "I know how you feel." Really? I said, "Wait a minute. I don't even know how I feel."
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And even with my husband, we were grieving the same people and we grieved differently. I didn't know how
Right.
he was feeling, know how I was feeling.
Right. Right.
So that used to irritate somebody and say, "I know how you feel." And I said, "Wait a minute. Your children are right here alive. How do you know how I feel?"
Right.
And
Right.
so, and I had to just say, hold my tongue.
Forgive, forgive, forgive.
Forgive me. Yeah. Well, she know not what she says.
That's right.
So,
That's right. That's exactly right. That's
yes.
right.
But whether it's grief coaching, counseling, talking to other parents who's gone through the death of a child, something, just some type of communication where you can express your thoughts and hear other people's stories and share your story. Give your story a voice. Don't let it be all bottled up.
Yeah, that's good. And I know sometimes at the beginning it's very, very hard to share. And sometimes, like you, it can take a while to even share it.
Well, maybe even if you can't share it verbally, write it out. And
Yeah.
just, just the ministry of writing is very therapeutic. I mean, that's one I received. Writing my autobiography was so therapeutic. It helped me more than I mean, because when I did that, that's when I could connect the dots. I
Oh,
said,
yeah.
"Oh, something that happened 10 years ago. Oh, that's why that happened. Oh, something happened 30 years ago. Oh, that's why that happened. Because if that didn't happen, this wouldn't happen. And if that didn't happen, that prepared me for this. Like I said,
Yes,
my
yes.
sister's death prepared my son."
Yeah.
Because if she hadn't passed, she was the first close person to me that passed. And the lessons I learned from her passing, I was able to use, for my sons. Because
Right.
it was so helpful to know that love never dies. I used to sing that song, "Love Never Dies," all the time after she passed, and not realizing as it was healing me from her death, it was preparing me for my sons.
Wow,
So when my
yeah.
sons passed, in my core, I knew that love never dies because of what I've just walked through with my sister.
Right. And I know for me, Becca, our daughter, was the first death of anyone close. And so I had no grid whatsoever. No grid whatsoever. And I
Yes.
think of one of the parents I've talked to recently. When her dad died, she went into a very dark depression. And so when her child died, she was like, I'm not going there again. I know where I'm not going. I know what I'm not doing. I'm not going into that deep, dark hole again. So, yeah, there are times where, unfortunately, fortunately, God prepares us, and sometimes we don't feel prepared. Well, we're never prepared for our child to die. But there are things in our lives, I believe, that God put in our lives that helps us turn to Him. And helps us, even if it's in the anger and confusion or things that cause us to question him in a way that it's we're still questioning him, we're still talking to him, we're still admitting he's God. We're just angry because we don't understand why he allowed this so much pain in my life. So,
Yes,
yeah.
our thoughts are not his thoughts. His thoughts are not our thoughts.
Yes. Yeah.
We can't understand what's happening. But one day we will see our sons again. I say every
Yes.
day I'm a day closer
Yes,
to seeing my sons. And
exactly.
the next time I see them, it will be for eternity.
Yes. Yep. That's what I say. We're not getting, because I used to, it would just really, I would just feel horrible thinking I was getting further and further away from Becca until the Lord spoke to me and said, "You're not getting further away. You're getting closer and closer to her again."
Now,
And
how old was Becca when she passed?
she was 29.
29.
Yeah. So she
29
would,
forever, huh?
yeah, I know. Yeah. And she'd be in her 40s now, which is just crazy to think of. It's just so crazy to think of. So, yeah. Well, you have a scripture in here, Ecclesiastes 3:4. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And it is possible, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. Mourning is just for a season. It's not meant to be permanent. And that's what I guess, God says, there's a time to laugh. Give yourself permission to laugh again.
Yes, yes.
I said, your loved ones are joyfully jamming with Jesus. They don't want you to be here miserable. Give yourself permission to laugh again and enjoy the day because they
Yes.
are.
Yeah.
They are.
Well, Angela, this has been so good. How can people find out more about your book and the documentary? How can they connect with you?
You can connect with me at my website, Miracles in Action, MIRACLES in Action, INACTION .com. And I speak at different churches, retreats, conference, book clubs, women fellowships, whatever door the Lord opens up for me to come and share this absolutely fascinating supernatural testimony from the living God we serve.
Yes, amen. We will have a link to that in the show notes too. And I
Okay.
think before we go, would you pray over the listeners?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, just wrap your arms around these parents whose children have gone to be with you. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you in advance, dear Heavenly Father. You say when two or more are in the midst, you are right there with us. We just touch and agree that you will heal their broken hearts and
Yes.
just give them a reason to sing and dance again, dear Heavenly Father. We just ask this. We have not because we ask not. So we're asking you right now, just give them that peace that surpasses their
Yes.
understanding. In Jesus' heavenly name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Angela. It has been a pleasure.
It sure has. I appreciate it always.
I think you can agree that Angela is a very special person. When I stopped recording, we continued to talk for a while, and I have to tell you something she said. She mentioned how she got emotional when talking and noted that even though there are still times she can be sad, she is not miserable. And I think that's an important thing to know. If you are struggling with the suffocating darkness within the early months or first few years, it won't always be that way. God's light will find you, and life will be worth living again. If you're interested in the book I mentioned in the introduction that talks about Angela in the chapter about Adam and Eve, it's called The Bible's Grieving Parents. I did a study several years ago about parents in the Bible who've lost a child. If you're like me, there are so many things you read in the Bible now that you see through totally different eyes. And so I wanted to just study those people out. And I found it very fascinating. It was very helpful. The strength, encouragement, and hope that I found through their stories of child loss in the Bible were so good. I finally decided to put it into a book so that more people could benefit from what I had learned about them. You can get that book. And there's also a companion journal that goes with it that you can purchase separately or get them bundled together. You can find those on Amazon, The Bible's Grieving Parents and The Bible's Grieving Parents Companion Journal, or you can order them directly from our website. Just go to gpshope.org, click on the store tab, go to the books, and scroll until you find them. Angela shared how important it is for children to process their own deep grief with the loss of a sibling. And several years ago, I put together a book to help with that. It's called My Grief Journey for Kids. It has, I think it's like 40 different words that we deal with in our grief. Some are the dark words, and then kind of walking through words of hope and getting into the lighter side of life. And it just has the word. It has a journaling prompt. Kids can either write, or if they're younger and don't know how to write or they don't want to write, they can draw a picture. There's room for that. There's a little something I wrote. There's a scripture verse, and it matches the adult version of My Grief Journey for Bereaved Parents. So you can actually get both of these books and do the same word together in your book and talk about it together. Obviously, you can also just get the My Grief Journey for Kids. Now, the adult book is for bereaved parents. The kids book is for any loss. To find out more about that, you can go to gpshope.org/mygriefjourney. That talks about the adult book, but there's a link on there you can click for the kids book to take a look at that as well. Also, you can get those books on anywhere you get books, or you can go to our bookstore on the website, gpshope.org. We all know how important it is to remember our child's birthday. Just because they're not here now does not mean they are forgotten. And here at GPS Hope, we want to make sure that is not the case. So each week, we pause to remember the children who were born that same week that have been sent in to us to share. It is something I am honored to do, to be able to speak their names and make sure there are others who acknowledge that special day. Today, like last week, I only have one birthday that has been sent in for this week. Jonda Steinkamp was born on April 2nd and is forever 4.5 months old. We celebrate the day this little one came into the world. It will always be a special day worth remembering. If you would like to have your child's birthday shared with the other listeners, I would love to be able to do that. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Now, we will only announce it for the year you send it in. It's not on a forever list, which is why sometimes we only have one or two birthdays to share, like today. You can sign up again if you want it shared again. Dave will send you an email to remind you to listen that week, and also the link will be in there to sign up for it the following year if you want it again, but you don't have to. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. The link will also be in the show notes. Don't forget, you can support this podcast to keep it going for yourself and for others who will be looking for the hope that you have found here when they find themselves thrown into this unwanted club of child loss. You can be a grieving parent sharing hope. Go to patreon.com/gpshope, and we just thank you in advance for doing that. I want to wrap this up by sharing something from the My Grief Journey coloring book and journal for kids. I want to turn to the page on peace, since that's what we were talking about today. Some people think peace is feeling good about something that happens, including bad things. I have found that peace is resting in God when those bad things happen. What does that mean? It is a belief that God is going to be with me no matter what, and that somehow He is going to help me get through whatever has happened in a way that I will eventually be okay. You might be thinking, how can things possibly be okay when my mom or dad or my brother or my sister, my grandma, or someone I love so much has died? God's peace is beyond what we can understand. Sometimes He speaks peace to the wind and waves, calming the storm around us. Other times, He holds us through the storm and speaks peace to the wind and waves blowing in our hearts. This is one of those times He wants to speak peace to the storm inside us. John 16:33 says, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." May you have God's peace that is beyond our minds can understand. And remember to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.